So let's take a look at the other side of it. The First Corinthians 7:17. We may be better able to see the mixed nature of Paul's meeting. It's verses 17 to 20. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Well, that term, all churches, is appropriate here because in his meetings at that time, Paul was talking to people from both Israel and from the body of Christ. At that time, there were still some individuals coming to belief in the circumcision gospel. People, you know, Israel's national kingdom gospel was not offered again. Israel had fallen in Acts 7. They had abandoned both their promise that was given to them and the offer of their at-hand kingdom. But God is going to keep his promise to Israel in the future. As we see in Zechariah 12:10, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. But until Christ pours upon them the spirit of grace and supplications, they remain apostate. They're not believing that Jesus is the Messiah, their Messiah, the risen Christ. That is Israel nationally. Israel still had some individuals that loved God, and God loved them, and they he was not going to discard them. They would come to a belief individually that Jesus is the risen Messiah. But it was only in that brief period of history there that God was calling people into two separate entities. One was diminishing, and the other was growing, building. But he was calling them by two different doctrines and two different gospels. One of which was the diminishing circumcision gospel, and the other was the new pattern of salvation through the uncircumcision gospel, by which sinner Paul was the chief, the first to be saved in Acts 9. And that's not the case today, is it? Anyone who wants to get saved today has to get saved Paul's way. The way Paul was first to be saved as a sinner. You have to consider yourself totally bankrupt with no rights to access God. No way to even answer God. And not able to supply anything to affect your salvation. You can't be good enough. You can't erase not being good enough in the past. So there's Paul was unforgivable. He was unsavable in Israel's covenants and commandments and doctrine. Think of yourself that way. And, you know, if you keep working at your salvation, then you are working at being ineligible for the gospel of salvation as God gave it to us for today. Look at Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Do you want to be righteous before God? Well, the verse says, from God, it says, work not, but believe. Well, let's finish these four verses that we had started. We'll restart with 1 Corinthians 7:17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. So ordain I in all churches. Verse 18, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. And there you can see the two callings at that time only, circumcision and uncircumcision. God was doing that for a short work at that time, but not now, though. It was his short work that he would cut short in righteousness. 1 Corinthians 7, we read 18, this is 19. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. And don't forget to apply Romans 10, verse 4, for everyone that believes. Romans 10, 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So when you apply that to verse 19, 1 Corinthians 7:19, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Well, you know, the law, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. So let's go on. 1 Corinthians 7:20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. And that did not negate Romans 11, verse 5. At that time, God was still calling out a remnant being a small part of Israel, small believing part, a remnant, but it was a remnant according to the choice or election of grace. The verse does not say a remnant according to the election of prophecy or of the kingdom. It says, a remnant according to the election of grace. Paul said, let every man abide in the same calling. Not every man must abide in the same calling. The word let is a word of permission. It's not an order. There were some Jews that were being called by God into the body of Christ by Paul's gospel. Let's remember the context here. Paul was writing to promote the unity aspect in God's people, among the Jews and among the body of Christ members, and between both groups. And yes, there were separate groups, but both had the same Savior, same Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Paul was not saying that it was impossible for Jews that were called in uncircumcision to believe Paul's gospel to be saved. He's not saying that. Paul was saying, let's be stable here. If God called you to be a believing Jew, don't try to be something else. But on the other side, there also was a remnant. Remnant's a Bible term that refers to a small group of believing Jews. Those Jews in Romans 11 verses 5 and 6, remnant according to the election of grace, they believed Paul's gospel of salvation, the gospel leading into the body of Christ. They were a remnant according to the choice of grace. And if grace, then it is no more of works. But the prophetic remnant was still zealous of the law, Acts 21:20, written after this epistle to the Corinthians. So, according to the context that follows Romans 11, verse 5, that unique remnant was by the choice of grace, Paul's gospel leading into the body of Christ. There was a crossover at that time for those particular Jews that had been called in uncircumcision to believe the gospel of the uncircumcision. And there were former Jews that believed Paul's gospel, and we can see them in Acts 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And after all of that settled down, and you get to Paul's post-Acts epistles, as it is today, there's only one calling. There's only one gospel of salvation. The way to be saved is only into the body of Christ. You can't be saved into Israel anymore, after Israel was blinded and cast away in Acts 28. The casting away of Israel in Acts 28 is an Israel event. It's not a body of Christ event. Those who try to make Acts 28 a body of Christ event and doctrine have to add to the scriptures in order to do so. 1 Corinthians 7:20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Well, in addition to that husbandry and that prophetic remnant, God was calling out a remnant, not a prophetic remnant like the little flock, but the grace remnant, according to the election of grace, the choice of grace, which Paul had preached by then as the gospel of Christ, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Or, in other words, to the Jews, including the Greeks that came to God through the Jews or through Israel. Later, Christ sent Paul with the same new pattern of salvation by grace through faith, not of works, but now to everyone, without reference to Israel or without blessing Israel. Your part is to receive it, that your only hope is that Christ sufficiently died for all your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day to justify you as a believer. The gospel of Christ is often ignored among those that understand the body of Christ began in the middle part of Acts. It's ignored. It shouldn't be, though. The gospel of Christ is mentioned 11 times in Paul's epistles. The content or salvation message is the same in the gospel of Christ as it is in the gospel of the grace of God to all men. Look at the Bible timeline charts that you see. Try to find the gospel of Christ on them. You can find the gospel of the grace of God, even though it's only mentioned one time in the whole Bible, the gospel of the grace of God. You can't find the gospel of Christ on hardly any of those timeline charts, even though it's mentioned 11 times in the Bible. It should be there, but for some reason they don't, you know, they want all those additional special accommodating instructions to be to us also, instead of to that mixed group. Instead of only to the Jews and Greeks that Christ sent Paul to early in Paul's ministry in a dispensing of the gospel. Or you could say an introduction of the gospel. The gospel was first being made known during a dispensation of the gospel, during that Acts period. The audience was narrower at first in the gospel of Christ. It was available to all men, but it was only sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. As Philippians 4:15 says, when Christ widened Paul's sending to all men, it was the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God being dispensed to all men, to all people. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. All right, let's look at that verse again, for Philippians 4:15, more closely. That verse tells when the gospel began to be sent to all people. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, I have personally heard some preachers who try to ignore this claim that Paul was referring to what some people call the Macedonian call in Acts 16. Back in Acts 16, when Paul went to Macedonia, it's not that. Remember that there's a difference between going to Macedonia and departing from Macedonia. Let's believe the Bible. The verse says, in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia. It's obvious that they're just grasping for straws. Simply believe that, believe only the scriptures and you'll be on the right track. If you let your preconceptions, preconceived ideas, and man's teachings that are beyond what is written, if you let them influence you, it's not going to be good. You're not going to be right in line with the truth. So we need to really find out where in Scripture Paul was referencing when he said that when he departed from Macedonia was the beginning of the gospel. Well, that shows to be in Acts 20, verse 6, and 18 verses. It would be 18 verses before Acts 20, 24 that we read before, where Paul said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God, or to dispense it. It's the testifying it, making it known, letting it out, dispensing it. Acts 20:24 refers back 18 verses to Acts 20, verse 6, when Paul sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia. Paul had received that ministry to testify or dispense the gospel of the grace of God 18 verses earlier in Acts 20 verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Welcome to the room. To continue on, we're just about done. That verse in Acts 20, verse 6, is the event that Philippians 4:15 is referring to as the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God to all men. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And you recall that much happened there in Troas. That's the only time it's recorded that Paul preached all night after he had been released, sent, by the Lord to all men. So Paul, when he arrived in Troas, it's his first meeting after the beginning of the gospel. And he, like we said, he preached all night, raised a dead man, Eutychus, as the sign of an apostle, not the signs of for Israel, but an sign. It would be from his 2 Corinthians 12:12 sign of an apostle that he had, which was proof from God of his credibility, since the message that God gave him to preach was not in the Old Testament. It was not confirmable by Old Testament writings. They did not have any prophecies to look at showing that Paul was in line with the prophecies, because it wasn't prophesied. It was mystery, the mystery of Christ. And I'm done.